I'm Metal Mattson from Super Geeky Playdate, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
The guy who watched the wrong movie.
And I'm John O'Lobster. The ice is gonna break! This is Legends of the Halloween.
And yeah, Wing did correct himself though and watched the right movie in a last ditch effort right before the cast.
Yes, guys, the guys had to wait the half an hour so I could watch the movie, but it's fresh in my mind. I can tell you that. And next week's movie is fresh in my mind as well.
It won't be by next week, but you know, we get what fresh means in Canada.
Well, it means imported from the US. Come on.
True. Stolen.
That, who imported it to from China? Come on, it's all an ecosystem.
It's all an ecosystem.
But if you didn't get Lobster's quote or whatnot, this
we're talking
is
about
the Dead Zone.
The Dead Zone, 1983, the year I was born. Christopher Walken as a leading man in a Stephen King thriller directed by David Cronenberg. If that doesn't make your normal, I don't know what will.
I'm not going to let you this call that good. A trailer. It's not a trailer.
It isn't a thriller. It's Christopher Walken looking scared at stuff. And this is like where he gets all of his tropes from, right?
It must
be. This is he's Christopher Walken. Like, I don't think that
he's got Mr. Rogers sweaters on this whole movie until the end.
Yeah. This is such an interesting movie. One, it's David Cronenberg, right? The Fly, yes. Videodrome. Like, this guy directs some trippy shit. Later on in his career, he does films like A History of Violence, which this has a very kind of that vibe, which I love about it. So this film was made not too far from where I grew up in Ontario. I lived across the border in New York, but this was filmed in Southern Ontario, not far from Niagara Falls.
It's not far from where you grew up, but in my country where my ass is freezing all winter.
Yeah. And so they filmed the movie in the middle of winter during a historically cold period, and you just see how everyone is freezing and the landscape just kind of sinks into you. And this is, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Stephen King novel, this is kind of one of his earlier books. It's one of the first one that gets made into a movie the same year Cujo and Christine come out.
Oh, that's a dollar baby. It's one of the dollar baby when anybody could buy his right for a dollar.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this was made kind of on the cheap. It wasn't a very expensive film. It doesn't have anyone who's a huge star. At that time, although Martin Sheen kind of is, Apocalypse Now, right, around this time. Again, Christopher Walken is in it. It's got people you recognize. Tom Skerritt was just in Alien. Anthony Zerb goes on and does a bunch of stuff. You've seen him in Star Trek. You've seen him in The Matrix. This is just kind of a fun, for me, movie. It's not really a Stephen King horror movie. It's one of Stephen King's what-if weird psychological movies that he does.
Yeah, it's most certainly not horror or
stories.
Thriller, really, even.
Yeah, but we're failing at this Legends of Halloween thing. I'm just saying, we're really failing.
The way that I got into this was the TV show in the early 2000s with Anthony Michael Hall. So it was a cable TV show, again, based on The Dead Zone, but they turned it into a series.
It's funny that you say that, because I'm watching that show, that movie, and I'm like, this is a show. I can see a show with that, but where they're going right now, it's like,
Oh, the film is very episodic. It goes kind of from one storyline to another. And when I got into the show, I went back and I read the book, and then I found out that there was a movie with Christopher Walken, and I was like, holy crap, I need to see this. And I loved, at the time I was into David Cronenberg, so I was excited for this. And it is one of my favorite Halloween time movies. I don't really...
Why Halloween, though?
Yeah, that has no horror vibe at all.
This should be like...
Winter, right?
Yeah, the 1st of January or the 17th of February.
Dude, your nostalgia portion on this one better be big, because damn.
Yeah, no, it definitely tickles that for me. Again, it's weird because it came out the year that I was born. It came out the month, like literally the week before I was born. This movie
was gestating at the same time as you were.
For some reason, I really enjoy the vibe, even though it's winter. They're referencing The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. They're referencing The Raven. There's all kinds of literary stuff in there. And I love Christopher Walken's performance in this movie. I mean, I just love that he's weird, but he's dialed it down a little bit where he's just trying to seem like a normal guy, but he's still Christopher Walken. Like, it's still there. The quote that I referenced at the top of the show is one of the best Christopher Walken lines, period. But there's a line really early on where he says, the next story you're going to read is The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. You're going to love it. It's about a school teacher who gets chased by a headless demon. And he just, I don't know, something like that. It's really fun. This is one of my picks. I did it a couple years ago on Art House Legends. And yeah, it's good for me. That's why I like The Dead Zone. You guys tell me what you think.
You don't want me to tell you what I think, because I got so excited when I saw David Cronenberg and Christopher Walken. I was like, wait, I haven't ever seen that. Why that never got on my radar? I love Cronenberg. I love Walken. Then I started watching the movie, and mid movie, Shark Tackle was like, oh, I would probably like this movie. And she watched 2 minutes. She was like, oh, that looks like a bad TV show from the 80s. And I was like, yeah, it is. And that's where I was at the thing. I was making my TV show as I was watching it. But
yeah,
it's... I mean, there's a worst press conference in the world. They're alone on a roller coaster. It's the sets are mostly unbelievable, except for when he actually drops from like reality to the dead zone or something. That's well made. The cuts are good on that. But overall, I would say the best moment of the movie to me was at the end, and they screwed it up by him touching the character. We'll get back to that.
Oh, no, that's
but
so good.
For me, they screwed it up there instead of leaving it open-ended. So much potential. I love the idea. I love the universe. Now I want to watch a TV show. But this, as a movie, as my first experience right now as a 36-year-old man who thought he would watch a horror movie, no, I was bored. I was really bored.
I will say I was kind of bored. I mean, it was entertaining for a little bit in the beginning. It was still kind of fun. I got the concept, but I just did Walken get typecast, or is this where he cast his whole persona going forward? Did he get hit on the head on the set of this movie and he never came back right?
I guess it depends, because Walken,
I've never
really
seen this full movie, but
he's a character actor. He's not a leading man.
True.
So how does that play in a movie? Can he be the lead actor in a film?
I don't know.
He would have been better as a doctor. As a doctor, he would have been great.
Yeah.
You know, the crazy doctor that went to check what was that crazy vision thing after and follows him a little bit. You know, he would have been good in that role, but as you said, character actor.
I don't know. Maybe we just get the randomness of it now. I mean, it just seems so over the top now. Like, he tries to shake his hand right away and he gets the button. He gets the pin or whatever handed to him.
I love that. That's a great moment.
Just like, it's just weird. It's, I enjoy it, but it's I won't be watching it again. I avoided the TV show because I heard the movie wasn't very good, but I'm like, I'll watch the movie. I'll check it out.
Yeah, but now you know that a TV show can be great if the movie is not. Remember Westworld. I'm just saying, remember Westworld.
Yeah, unfortunately,
Remember the Canterbury?
Yes, exactly.
They drag out the TV show for 5 seasons. Ooh. And then never get to the end.
President
it gets canceled.
Thing. Yeah. Oh, God. Okay.
Like, they set up Stilson and everything, and then it just never gets there.
Okay, let's talk about my favorite scene of the whole movie. The dead zone with Stinson and the button, the nuke button. I woke up in the middle of the night.
Donald Trump wakes up. I mean, Greg Stilson wakes up in the middle of the night.
Wow, it says, is kind of similar, isn't it?
I had a vision. We're going to start a new dawn for the country.
I'll cut your hand off and put it on the goddamn scanner thing. I don't even think they knew what to call it at that point in time.
He said the scanning screen.
Did he?
Remember, it's the future. He's president now.
I felt like I was watching like a bad video game, like a bad Call of Duty final scene or something. But at that point, I was entertained as shit because I was like, I can't believe they're going there. I just can't believe they're... And their fake Oval Office is...
Or I think it's supposed to be Camp David.
Okay, fair enough. But wow.
Wow. No, I thought that was fantastic. Like, it's... So...
Sir, we think we found out a peaceful solution, or diplomatic peaceful solution. Gentlemen, that's all right, boys. The missiles are flying.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're right. That is Trump.
North Korea. No.
North Korea, Russia, whoever. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I love about the book is the book actually follows Stilson from the beginning. He starts out as a Bible salesman, and it's just like... traces his trajectory and then ultimately them colliding and what the fallout is. This one introduces Stilson late in the game, although they mention him at the very beginning when he wakes up from the coma. They're doing the press conference and they say, oh, do you think
it would have been cooler if they saw him if they mentioned him on a newsreel as him and his girlfriend were going to the cold roller coaster. It would have been cool if they mentioned him on a TV or something they passed.
No, I prefer the movie that that Lobster is talking about. I know it's the book, but I prefer that movie anyway. I want the main character to be Stinson and Stilson, and the other, the B character, the B plot, to be Walken. Now you have like the story of a character that becomes like full crazy with power, and the story of a character that goes nuts with power because he doesn't know what to do with it. And then you put that one against
moral
each other.
Question for sure.
Yeah, there you go. That's the movie that's in that book, not what we watch.
Yeah. So in the book, he wrestles a lot more with the whole, what do I do about this thing? He's wrestling with it for a big chunk of the book.
You mean, do I go back and kill Hitler, Cordy Fingers?
Right. And in the book, he resists and he's not going to do anything, but then he keeps having visions and thinking about stuff. And he's like, ooh, I don't know. But I love the ending of it where it's not like he doesn't actually kill anyone. He exposes Stilson's cowardice.
Yes, I do like that. That is a good ending where he grabs the fucking, give me the kid. Give me the kid.
Yes.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
And I could totally see a Sheen doing that.
Well, but that Sheen. Not that Sheen, though. That I see that Sheen being in front of the bullet.
I mean, what's really prophetic about this movie is Martin Sheen does become president.
In a lot of movies, yeah.
In the West Wing.
For as longest
President
terms,
Bartlett.
Yeah. God, he was good in that. It's really weird for me to watch that actor in anything else than two things. One is The West Wing, because I love The West Wing so much.
I bought that
much.
Stupid fucking collector's briefcase.
Oh, wow.
With all the, like, 70 DVDs for my mom's boyfriend.
I'm
that
so
was
jealous.
One of the coolest
That's
Christmas
amazing.
Presents I ever got for someone.
Nice.
Yeah, that is amazing. And the other role for me is the elusive man in Mass Effect. I mean, I played this game for hours and hours. His voice is just ingrained in my brain. brain. So it's very weird for me. It's like a big position of power.
That's like when I'm playing a video game and I hear Katie Sackhoff or Trisha Helfer. I'm like,
Thylon.
I love you both.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my problems with Mass Effect 2.
To back up on the vision part that they work into this movie. So I think, and Beef mentioned this earlier, I think one of the best parts of the film is when he has his visions. And the way that they shoot it is so Cronenberg. And that's where his stamp is on the movie. His stamp isn't. His stamp isn't on just the general scenes and parts of the film. It's not really even in the plot structure. Although the episodic structure does kind of parallel some of his other movies. The visions that Johnny has where he's jolted, and that's actually Cronenberg off camera firing a gun to make him jump.
Nah. That's Cronenberg area.
Oh, I don't
you see should, that makes sense.
If I had that power, I'd be going around touching everybody.
Yeah, but the whole idea is that when it happens, it's killing him. So every time he has a vision, it's like a little piece of his brain dying.
Aww,
they don't explain
cute.
That, and I got it in the movie, but they don't explain it, and I think that's one of the flaws of the movie, that they never establish
the show.
Rules of
I feel
his
like
power.
I'm dying, but
the show does a better job with the visions, because he can like fast forward and rewind and zoom in and zoom out. It's actually really cool the way they do it in the show. One of my favorite scenes in the TV show is he's about to have sex with someone.
Wow.
And at the time that he kisses her, he pictures everyone that he's ever had sex with and everyone that she's ever had sex with. And they're like all in the room at the same time. And it's just really weird. Anyway. The visions in this movie go
Wait
from
to feel the mood.
The visions in this movie go from first he's on fire, so he's actually experiencing it, and then he's getting flashes of details, and then my favorite scene is the gazebo. That's a funny word, where he's like living the moment.
Oh
like
yeah, and he knows her or she knows him.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a scene that I'm conflicted about, because that's one of the scenes that's well acted. I like what's happening. I kind of like the dialogue even, but it's shot like a TV show special Friday afternoon. The old
hey,
gazebo
come on up to the gazebo. Let me show you what I got here.
Yeah.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
It does show that a lot of the supporting cast is Canadian. Like, it's really obvious that they are Canadian.
It's funny because you say that, and for me, that it shows that they're English-Canadian. I mean, not from my part of Canada.
Right, right.
Oh, you're such an elitist. The kids falling into the lake. The ice! That's still fucking weird shot.
Ice is gonna break.
Because, I mean, there's a bunch of kids plunging into a lake.
And he's, like, holding him.
I'm kind of happy that the kid we learned to love didn't die.
Yeah.
But on the other hand,
two of his friends
kind of
died.
Should have died.
Anthony Zerb got messed up.
Yeah, and that would have been a motivation for the character to do it again and do it with the wannabe president and all that jazz.
Right. But
instead
that's
of
when
just
he realizes,
being like an event.
That's when he realizes he can change stuff. Because before, he hasn't really experienced that he can change stuff. He's experienced things as they happen, or things that have happened.
Yeah, the movie doesn't say that, because the movie shows you that he saved the little girl in the fire at the start, and the movie conveyed that he changed that event. So when you get to this, for me, it's nothing new. And when they have the big revelation, you can change events. I was like, yeah, from day one, that's the first thing he did.
Okay.
So that didn't play for me at all. That was
I hate to agree with Wing, but I got on that one.
Okay. So you don't think that the dead zone is the fact that he can change the future?
No, he totally can, but the reveal wasn't a reveal.
At the wrong place.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you can change events. I saved the little girl from burning in her house, unless that's like that was the original paradox that would have happened and he didn't know, blah, 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 but he still... I don't know.
She would have been saved anyway.
Right. Right. Whether it was him or not, she would have been saved anyway, but I don't know. They still never conveyed that he had that much self-doubt about it.
And the movie never lets anything in the air, and that's one of the things I don't like, because this movie could be great if you just like don't have all the answer all the time. If the paper didn't say that the kids, two other kids die, and right. he never knew, like the father said, that would have been interesting as well to me to see, like, well, you cannot know if you change the future or not. And that's where the ending for me would have been way more interesting, to know that he would die in fate that he changed the ending. And not,
yeah, but
like,
you know,
he saw it and he saw the guy kill himself in the worst way in like 3 weeks. So
I don't think they had to see him kill himself for me. I would have liked, even if he didn't kill himself, just the, you know, whatever, disgrace, just, yeah, super disgraced, his career in politics is over, or whatever it said.
But the fact that on top of it, he kills himself
by
shooting himself.
This is the 80s, though, dude. I mean,
I agree, but even if it's the 80s, and I'm giving a lot to this movie for the fact that it's in the 80s, because I would be way worse on the movie if it was not. But even if in the 80s, this is writing, and we watch a lot of old movies that are great. Fuck, I watched Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kids for the first time this weekend, and that was fucking well written, even if it was played like a freaking theater thing. Sure. But I appreciate the script. That's in the script. So even if, yes, I know, okay, what's his name? Walken plays it like he's in theater. Right. He does plays it like it's
he
in
does.
Theater
he,
all
he
the
plays
time.
Broad. And yeah. he does his Christopher Walkenisms.
And I'm not going to ding
plays
the movie
up,
on that.
He plays up the weird, like at the beginning, he's got his hair all slicked down and he looks kind of, I mean, it's the 70s or supposed to be the 70s, but he looks kind of normal. And then the rest of the movie, he comes out of the coma and he's just got crazy hair.
Like the hedgehog hair and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not going to ding the movie on that, because that was a style of acting that was in vogue at that time. Now we're more into post-realism and all that crap. Anyway, I'm not here to analyze the current of cinema.
Yeah, but what I really like about this movie is it plays in a lot of different genres. It's playing the romance angle. It's playing the political intrigue angle. There's a slasher story in the middle, which actually kind of works pretty well. It turns out to be almost like a Psycho type story. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I feel like the film balances all of the elements pretty well. I don't think that there's any, like, I don't think that there's a dull spot in the film. And I don't mean dull in terms of, like, I think that it does well at everything it tries to do. Maybe I'm biased. I probably am. But I think that all of the elements come together okay.
I'm glad you added the okay. And you are a little bit biased. Yeah. But
yeah, I would agree with that. You're a little bit biased in the okay.
And
but
I've watched this. I've watched this at least 5 times, so I've seen it enough to that I'm familiar with the structure and the elements.
But if I go on the same thing by seeing it once and trying to give you the same kind of analysis, I would say that all the right elements are there, but they're missing two key things that are very, very, very important. That they miss the rhythm on their movie, and I'm not asking it to be faster or anything, but I'm asking it to, like I said, that there's one scene that we felt that should have been at the start, and there's probably should have been a little bit less with his ex-wife when we come back, just to establish that he wouldn't kill the kid.
They totally just sleep together.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I love that. Oh, here's your yeah. consolation prize for being in a coma.
Yeah, that I kind of like that, too.
And they make, in the TV show, they make the sheriff her husband.
Oh, really?
So yeah. So
oh,
he
that's
gets
cool.
He gets involved with solving a lot of crimes and stuff and, like, helping the sheriff. But it's awkward because she's, like, that's his
did
girlfriend's
she, did
husband.
Did she give him the welcome back screw in the show, too?
Well, not to spoil the TV show too much, but let's just say they didn't wait to have sex, and there's a 6-year-old kid.
Oh, it's his kids instead. Oh, that's interesting too. Wow, they made great choice in that TV show. Anyway, so yeah, I think they missed a little bit of the pacing, and I know this was the year that was under the condition this movie was made, but they're missing a lot of production value.
Oh, and he's also super rich.
Oh, of course. But
he gets a settlement from the trucking company or whatever. Yeah. And he's super rich.
Oh, so. We didn't talk about that weird accident with a milk truck.
Yeah, you hit the milk truck. Don't cry over spilled milk.
Fuck. I was like, okay, it's going to be a gas truck. There's going to be a giant explosion. No, he kind of hits the end of the milk
truck. Yeah, he Wilhelm. He Wilhelm screams his way into the...
Oh, God. Yeah. Beef, do you want to analyze what you liked and didn't like it about that movie, or are you just ready to rate it?
You know, hey, you have the power of second sight. I mean, I don't know. The lines were just cheesy enough to be written down.
It's either a very new human ability or a very old one.
Haven't we? Yeah, I wrote that down,
too. Okay, that was a
good
line. That was a good line.
I don't know. I just...
You're a devil so sent from hell.
Am I going to see you again? Not like this.
Not like this.
God damn it, woman.
We've been making bookcases.
Yes, yes, I have that too.
I do like that he does use the power on occasion to fuck with people. He's like, you want to know why your sister killed herself, don't you?
Well, the guy's like, work that way.
No.
Oh, that press conference was the worst. That's the worst scene of the movie. That press conference is the worst scene of the movie.
No, the worst scene is his mother's death scene.
After, no, that's
like,
that was
funny. Oh, leave him alone. And then she's like, leave your boots by the door. Don't track mud all over the house.
At that point, I was thinking that he was killing other people, not his brain. But I digress.
All right, let's rate this. I think we're ready to rate this thing.
All right.
Wing. For the dead zone. Are you going legendary?
Walking in the pale moonlight.
Legend of its time.
In the zone.
Cult legend.
Hail to the king.
Awesome.
Zurb rush.
Entertaining.
Castle Rock thriller.
Mabel.
Needs more cowbell.
Forgettable.
Another day in Greg Stilson's America.
Abysmal.
This movie put me in a coma.
Spring Breakers Highlander.
Sometimes they come back for more.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of rape, murder, mass murder, pre and post cognition.
This movie needs way more cowbells. Way more cowbells. Come on. As I said, there's a good movie in there. We talked about it, and I love the concept. I think there's a lot to do. I think this is ready for a remake. I mean, there is a remake in there, a remake of Dead Zone.
I would actually
agree.
I would actually agree. And I think that just on the remake track, obviously Stephen King has had kind of a renaissance lately with
With film like The Dark Tower?
Yeah, films like The Dark Tower. Sure. No, with films like It.
But still, The Dark Tower had his name in the ether.
Big, yeah. And he's got a couple Netflix movies coming out. I think you could go back and do a Dead Zone movie. Now that there's been a movie, a TV show, you could revisit it. And certainly the Greg Stilson angle is topical.
Yeah, I think there's two things. You could do a miniseries like very dark and gritty with the stencil angle and everything. But I think this is ready for another remake. The concept is good. Just write me a good script. There's so much stuff in there that you could just adapt and go nuts in different ways. I love that part of it. I think that's what I love. That's what frustrated me the most is that I love the concept. I like the actor. I like the director. I like freaking every part of that mix. But when I put everything together, I'm like, well, strawberry in a burger is not the best thing ever. So, yeah, I'm going
good,
with more trouble.
Strawberry in a burger.
Beef. Beef in a burger.
Oh, God. I really don't want to agree with Wing, but I think I got to go needs more cowbell. I mean, this is the first time I've ever actually watched the whole thing. I know, even though I don't remember seeing it, I had to have seen parts of it because I remember a few of the crazy scenes, unless they've just become memes or skits and jokes. So it was okay, but I won't be revisiting it. I kind of like what they did in some spots, but some spots it was just like, oh my God, my brain hurts. I get it. They're shaking the camera. He's having a vision. Or he's going into a vision. Yeah, so totally. Oh. Needs more cowbell. Lobster.
Hail to the king, baby. Listen, there's something going on here. This is one of the underrated Stephen King adaptations. It does not get the attention that The Shining and Misery, Stand By Me, Shawshank Redemption get.
You're naming like Academy Award level movies.
Yeah.
Not all winning, but level movie. This is a Saturday afternoon special.
No.
Don't be so harsh, bro.
There is good stuff here. I'm telling you, there is good stuff here. I think one of the things that this movie has going for it is its cast. There's no one that tries to outshine the two leads. And you don't meet Martin Sheen until three quarters of the way through the movie. And the fact that you instantly know that you should hate this guy.
Right.
He's a phony. Like, he's bad news. I love that. I would say that the one scene you don't need is the scene where he tries to blackmail the reporter or whatever. I don't think that scene needs to be in the movie. You get that he's a bad guy.
Yeah, but it doesn't it doesn't hurt to have that in there.
No, I just think that it would have been, I think you could kind of show that maybe from Johnny's perspective, or you could show that another way. Again, most of the film is from John Smith's perspective. So I don't think that you need, that's like the one scene in the film that kind of goes the other way. Like, that's not really relevant to anything that John knows. It's not something that he sees in a vision. It's just kind of this little side thing that they throw in there, again, to emphasize that he's a bad guy.
You're not the bad guy.
Beef, after not listening to you guys for the last 2 minutes and making some research, seems that you and me are crazy. This gets a 90% the Rotten Tomato meter and 84 cinema score.
It seems that this is a good movie.
it's at the top of a couple lists of like best Stephen King adaptations. I don't think this movie is for everybody. I will be the first one to admit that it's a little difficult to watch. Cronenberg movies are difficult to watch. If you've ever tried to sit through Videodrome, you know Cronenberg.
I love that movie.
You know Cronenberg movies are difficult to watch.
We should watch Videodrome.
Again, I see a lot of similarities between this and some of Cronenberg's later work, like A History of Violence, where he goes back to this small town idea and tells like one guy's story in this kind of episodic format. I love this film. I'm going to shut up about it. Hail to the king.
Hey, I have to give credit where credit's due. Seems that a lot of people share your opinion. Thank you to be on my side for once.
Ming, I think you are becoming more French as the cast goes on, and I think your French is infectious, and I don't like it. I just want you to know that. But other than that, last word on Dead Zone, fellas.
Dead to me.
The wolf is loose.
No, that was no.
That's a line in the movie. The wolf is loose.
Fucking wolf. Yeah.
All right, Beef. What time is it?
I know what's coming.
Oh, it's time.
Not a lot of news at the start of the month. Yes, in the month of October. Right now, everybody's talking about one thing. But first, what is the box office, Lobster?
The box office is
zero.
I mean, if you
nobody
take
cares
it,
about Kingsman. Nobody.
If you take it on the whole, Kingsman is number one at the box office. It's also not too far off from number three. It and American Made and Kingsman are the top three, and all of them grossed about 16, 17 million.
Let me read this because this is awesome. I never seen this before. 16,935,000. Second position, 16,902,000. Third position, 16,776,000. this is ridiculous, the difference between...
That's almost a three-way tie, and one of those is a brand new Tom Cruise movie.
Which I heard is actually really good.
Very good. Yeah, but that's an Oscar bait. It's not expected to make that much much money. But how are we
Flatliners,
Kingsman now?
Oh, Flatliners. I've heard shit about that.
It's dead to us.
We should watch the original.
We should watch the original. Was fun. Yeah, but we're going to watch it and then hate it afterwards. But we should do that. That's what we do now.
Yeah, well, we do. That's what we do now.
And dropping from 5th place to 10th place... Mother.
Yeah, but everybody knew that.
I didn't do that last week. I had to do it.
Mother.
But can we call the future of Kingsman in peril? Because everybody was calling that the next James Bond franchise, blah, blah, blah. They made it the next Austin Power. And
yeah, but you're so harsh. You can't say that. Just because no one went to see it doesn't mean it's Austin Power.
Wait. In the first movie, you have to agree that what's brilliant
about
I'm going to give it that. Brilliant is that they're riding the line between Austin Power and James Bond, and they're riding really fucking well. Everything that I've heard about this movie is that they went over the line, and nothing is
I credible. Haven't heard that from an overwhelming majority, but we will agree to disagree. I'll still see it. I'm just not spending money for movies right now, going on dates and shit.
Yes.
Why would you go to the movies when there's new TV to watch?
Right. Why would you go to the movies when you want to take a date to dinner? I mean, come on.
Well, dinner and a movie. AMC. How about
dinner and drinks afterwards?
I just read that AMC has this thing in October where you can see a movie for $5.
Wow. Marcus, around here every Tuesday, you can go see any movie, any theater for $5.
There you go. So.
Yeah. Awesome.
There's some casting things that happened. There's a bunch of trailers I didn't watch.
And that's pretty much it. So the big things this week, and I like that you've put that in there, there's the Sonic the Hedgehog movies going at Paramount, going from Disney to Paramount. And Paramount is fast-tracking that thing to be like an hybrid, a little bit like Space Jam. And I'm like, what?
That needs to be like a Wreck-It Ralph to be awesome.
Agreed. And that doesn't seem to be
no.
The way
it needs to be a gritty reboot, Godzilla Gareth Edwards style. That's what we need.
But
I don't even fucking know. I'm just talking.
I'm gonna say something bad, but I don't want to see anything by Gareth Edwards for a little while.
Nobody does. Yeah. Maybe Colin Trevorrow will direct it.
Did you guys see the Harrison Ford talking about the punch?
I did not. Well, I know he accidentally punched Ryan Gosling in the face.
Yeah,
but.
And that's hilarious. But he was talking to, like, Kimmel or whoever he was on, or I don't know, whoever he was on. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. I put the clip in there. They're sharing some sort of liquor, but it looks like Harrison Ford was getting into the sauce before her in the green room.
After he went on his airplane and flew home.
Yeah, I mean, he's slurring his words. He looks like my old man at Wing Saturday. I mean, it's not good.
Thanks.
Other kind of wings. A little bit of casting news. One of my favorite actresses, Jenny Slate, will play someone in the Venom Tom Hardy movie. I put in the notes, will she play Carnage? Because that's what anytime anyone gets cast for Venom, people say, will they play Carnage? Actually,
that would be a great cast.
That would be a great, great cast to play Carnage.
What is she from?
She's from SNL. She was on Parks and Rec. She's the voice of Marcel the Shell. She does great stuff.
That you put it in my head, if they don't do that, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. She was the voice of the fluffy dog in Secret Life of Pets. And she was the voice of something else in a different animated movie. Anyway.
Well, she's great. But you know what? That Venom movie, at first I wasn't sure if I wanted it. And now the more that I'm understanding that they're making this the same way they're making the Scorsese Joker movie, they're just making a movie. Basically like the good old days when you were just making a fucking movie.
Like, we've
everybody's
asked
going nuts. Is it? Yeah, and I have that in the notes somewhere. Is the DCEU dead or not? And everybody's going nuts. And I'm like, you know what? Stop going nuts. Let's do like we did in the old days. Let's do a fucking good movie. And if that fucking good movie just happened to be able to connect to something else at some point, great. If not, well, we have that good movie.
Just like Split.
Exactly. Split is the best example of all that. By the way, they started shooting.
Yeah, I know. Shut up. Happening. I don't even think about it.
So I'm going to hit you with both barrels on this one. Hugh Hefner died. I'm looking forward to the retrospective on Wholesome Addiction.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have more of it. We talked about it quick 2 nights ago, but Sean wasn't there, so we're going to really talk about it next week.
Okay, so a Playboy retrospective. And Jared Leto signed on to play Hef in a movie version of his life.
Directed by?
Who?
Brett Ratner.
What?
That's the news that I've read just before the show. That's why I didn't put it in there because I was like,
I didn't see director. I just saw Jared Leto, which is kind of interesting because connects to Joker and Blade Runner.
Unconfirmed reports that Tom Petty died.
He died 5 times and then came back to life. He won't back down.
So he's still alive?
I don't know. I heard he's dead from like everybody.
He's dead, guys.
Then there's one rumor going around. He's unconfirmed reports that they can't confirm his death. And I'm like, wait a minute. Did they just double negative that?
He had a heart attack. He was unresponsive. They put him on life support. They took him off life support. Yeah.
He came back.
Sad news for Tom Petty fans.
Yeah. Hey, I like his music. I saw him more times in concert than anyone else.
At least now he's finally free.
Yeah, Jared Leto to star in Brett Ratner, Hugh Hefner biopic, which will definitely be classic, classy and tasteful.
Just like that joke I just made.
Yeah, shut up with your jokes. You're hurting me in my soul.
Trailer dump. I haven't watched any of these because I didn't have time.
God, you're a horrible person. It took 3 minutes. Wing pushed the cast back 10 minutes. What are you doing?
Writing all our show notes.
Trench 11, the new take on zombies that I actually want. It's like... Okay. I don't know. It actually looks fun. It's a small movie, but it's getting a lot of review, and it's going around the Sundance festivals and all that shit now.
Hopefully, it's the Dead Snow, Iron Sky mashup that we've always wanted.
It actually kind of is. It's World War II American soldiers or British soldiers, whatever, go into a bunker or trench, and probably World War One. Sorry. And underneath it, they were experimenting with something, and of course it is zombie fun from there on out.
Oh no, not the zombs.
So yeah, I mean, I think it looks fun, but I'm not a good judge of movies as this.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because let's talk about my boy Denis Villeneuve and his new Blade Runner that everybody says is fucking awesome. I just can't wait to go see that on Friday night.
Are you assuming this is going to make more than $16 million at the box office?
No. I'm assuming it's going to be great. That's
like, I've been trying to figure this one out. I mean, is it going to do Arrival numbers? Is it going to do better than Arrival? Like what?
You know what? I think Arrival numbers are pretty much what this is going to do. There's two things right now. I hate that. Okay, it hits hard, but overall, after the initial boom, it went down again. I think people are itchy enough, and on Blade Runner, the people are itchy enough. Yeah, there's no H in there. Don't try. There's no H in there. Anyway. I don't know for you in your work environment, but people have been talking about this movie out of nowhere to me, and I'm like, wait a second, this is becoming something out of just my circle of like crazy buddy online. So it may make more money than we expect. On the other end, what everybody seemed to forget is that Blade Runner is a bomb. It is.
The first one.
Yeah. Let's remember that. It was a bomb.
Yeah, and they didn't fix it until like 5 cuts later.
Yeah, until like the 25th anniversary. So,
yeah, I don't know with this one. It's hard. It's hard to say. I feel like people will go because it's a named property and it has Ryan Gosling.
The worst reviews I've heard are, well, it was long, but it left me thinking about it after I left the movie, and I still don't know how I feel. So that's good for it. I mean,
I love Tron Legacy. So
I do.
If you're readapting an 80s property that was initially underwhelming, sure.
Here you go. Chilling in its magnificence, but pretty much heartless.
Okay.
I mean, the first one was kind of like that too, though.
Yeah, I'm not ripping it. I'm still going to see it, and I, you know.
Yeah.
James Cameron is an asshole and also is spending a lot of money on Avatar.
Oh, yeah. God. I was reading that they wrote him a $1 billion check to make I don't know how many awful Avatar sequels.
And he says that people only like Wonder Woman because she was hot.
He's a fucking idiot. I don't think all four of them are going to succeed if he's got attitudes like that.
Hey,
he doesn't know anything about movie making then.
He's doing Terminator, quote unquote, 3 with Linda Hamilton and the director from Deadpool.
Okay. Is he doing that after Avatar or?
He's a consultant on the script.
Okay.
Whatever.
But I don't know why Linda Hamilton signed on that.
I think Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it too. Chuck, right? She played Chuck's mom.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she was good in that.
She was good.
Chuck was good.
I love Chuck. It's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, and my DCU ending thing that I talked about a little bit, touched about a little bit earlier, everybody is like going crazy because
they're priming us not to like Justice League. That's you know what they're doing. The story, stuff is already coming out, spinning that, oh, well, you know, Justice League, the production was plagued by all sorts of problems. Joss Whedon's done the best he can. But, you know, maybe going forward, we're not going to focus so much on interconnected stories. They're priming us to hate Justice League.
You know what? There's two things in there. I think, first of all, like we said earlier, like, I don't care. Just make good movies. Give me more Wonder Womans, and I'm good. More Men of Steel, which was pretty much standalone. Go for that. Give me more of that. I'm all for that. The other thing is that's another thing that I probe with other people. Not a lot of people know that Suicide Squad is even remotely connected to Superman. And that's kind of funny to me. So as Marvel is...
Except how, like, Batman was in it.
Yeah, Batman was in it, but they don't expect it to be with somebody else as much as when they see a Marvel logo. They're all screwed up because the X-Men are not in the Marvel universe. So it's funny to see that this is a problem for Marvel, but I don't think it's a problem for DC at the moment because they haven't been successful with the universe. So if you want to end it right now, I think give us a good Justice League movie. Fair enough.
And I think
you don't have to give us a sequel to that. Just
cutting a lot of the connections in Justice League. Like, I know they cut out some of the Flash backstory stuff.
Lex Luthor.
Yeah, Lex Luthor's not going to be in it. So it is seeming more like they're just going to be like, okay, we're going to tell the story and then we're going to go tell another story.
And then the next one, we won't see Batman without his cowl because it's not going to be Ben Affleck. And which
but remember, this was originally Justice League Part 1.
Yeah, that's dead. That's not happening. The only movie we know that is happening for sure, is Aquaman. And probably Wonder Woman 2, but it's not for sure.
Wonder Woman 2 is going to happen?
It's going to happen, but when I say for sure, Aquaman is in front of camera. They're not backing off.
They're not going to back. They made too much money with Wonder Woman 1. They will still make that movie, even if it's just a side a sequel to Wonder
Woman.
It's
Warner Brother. They managed these licenses in the last three years.
What reboots the next franchise or the next whatever. I don't know.
Right now they have Gal Gadot, and that's all they need.
She's the director.
But true. As long as they keep these two right now, I think they're golden. But if they keep just like as the face Gal Gadot, nobody's going to care about Ben Affleck changing that much. And I want to say that Henry Cavill is cemented as Superman, but I don't think he is.
No, nobody cares.
When they just CGI'd his mustache out for a whole movie, I don't think they care.
He can come back, different actor. They killed him in the last movie. It's fine.
But try to recast Wonder Woman right now.
Yeah, I don't think that's not going to go.
No, you could not do that.
People were bitching before.
They could bring in Chris Pine to play Superman, and people would be like, all right, cool. And then as long as it's still Gal Gadot.
Agreed.
It's all good.
All right, fellas.
Oof-da.
Next time, Legends Podcast. Wing, say it.
Le Pacte des Loups.
Le Pacte des Loups.
And we watched it. The bathroom?
Yes.
Okay.
El Baño.
The Brotherhood of the Wolf.
I'm super excited to talk about this movie.
Okay, that's a movie I actually watched for this week.
So yeah. You watched it accidentally. God. I feel like it soured you to the dead zone. I also enjoyed watching this movie the first time I saw it. I have not watched it in over a decade. I'm excited.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I work on this movie. I worked on this movie because it was right. Shot so around here.
We want dirt.
Oh, you will have dirt. I was watching it and I was ditching dirt. The only thing that I'm curious to know, and that would be interesting for our listener right now. First of all, which version are you going to watch? Because this movie was shot in two languages. We actually shot one.
I'm
going to
watch
French,
the longest, Frenchiest version I can find.
Okay, so you're going to watch the same version that I did. Okay,
the director's cut.
Beef, are you going to go for an English version or for a French subtitle version of 2 hours and 35 minutes? That
I thought
I could
you
send
said it was
2
hours and 10 minutes.
I want it.
That's the English version.
Well, I should watch that, longer. Right?
No, you should watch the longest one, the one I suffered.
I thought you said there's a 3-hour version.
I want the long
I didn't. One. I didn't find that one.
Okay, so 235 is what we're looking for.
Yeah, it's the best that I found.
God, I hate you both.
Yes.
All right, well, we will talk about that shit next week.
And Lobster, you need to explain me next week after the cast, once we finish talking about these, before we move to news, why the fuck did you choose The Dead Zone and The Brotherhood of the Wolf as horror Halloween movies? Because I think it doesn't work, but I give you a week to think about it.
Because I don't like slasher movies.
Good answer. All right, this has been episode 342 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, more wolves?
I'm John D saying, CGI wolves. Amazing.
I'm Lobster saying, the ice is gonna break.
Thanks, Kreskin.
Next movie's in French.
Let me tell you how I got this watch.
Put it in my ass.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or Kraken Cast. No infringement is intended.